As I was thinking and knowing that, unfortunately, I won't be able to make it here this Tuesday, so I said, oh, perfect, Yom Yerushalayim. But then again, I really want to come and have an opportunity to learn with everyone on Shavuot. So we're going to combine the Shiurim, but the truth is that we don't need to combine it, because we're going to see that there are so many parallels between Yom Yerushalayim and Shavuot, that it's almost as if Yom Yerushalayim truly serves as a prelude to Shavuot, setting the tone in all ways for Zman Matan Torateinu. And what's interesting is that there's a very famous Sfat Emet on Hanukkah, and he repeats this by Purim when he speaks about Chagim Midrabanan, how at the rabbinic holidays, he says, really portray a certain parallel or a mirror for the Shalosh Regalim. He says, for example, it's clear that Hanukkah is the parallel for Chag HaSukkot, 8 days, agriculturally oriented, and spiritual on one hand, but physical on the other. And then he says, Purim is really the parallel for Shavuot, for after all, and on Purim, we read Kimu v'Kiblu, and Chazal explain, Kiblu, Masha, Kimu, Masha, Kiblu, Kfar, by Har Sinai. So there is a natural continuation with the holiday of Purim. And he says, Pesach doesn't yet have a rabbinic holiday, but Latid Lavo, again, this is writing in the 1800s, Latid Lavo, there will be a rabbinic holiday for Pesach, and lo and behold, we result that in our times, many people see Yom HaTzmaut as the Sfat Emet's rabbinic holiday for the physical Exodus, really, the redemption, the Geula of Am Yisrael from Mitzrayim, and parallel to our Geula of modern day times. But I'd like to argue that even though Purim, to a certain degree, is the rabbinic holiday for Shavuot, I think that Yom Yerushalayim, and parallel to Yom HaTzmaut, one day more, the physical revival, the physical Geula that we celebrate Pesach time Yom HaTzmaut, and then continuing, really, to the more Ruchani, the spiritual revival, that was experienced both by Matan Torateinu, both by Shavuot, and certainly by Yom Yerushalayim. But let's begin with basic parallels. And Roman numeral 1, which is missing over here, is just a basic parallel between Torah's Man Matan Torateinu and Yerushalayim. And here, just to quote the famous pasuk from Yeshayahu, Ki mitzion tzeitzei Torah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Obviously, there's a connection between Zion and Torah, so let's look at the Mishnah to explain, because the best Torah, the real Torah, Ki HaTorah HaMitzit, Ki HaYotzeit Mitzion, Ve'in Zulata Ba'olam. I always wonder if my kid is in Chutz Laaretz. The Torah in Eretz Yisrael, the true Torah, and there isn't any parallel to Torah to Eretz Yisrael. By the way, Rav Kook has a beautiful essay, Nolat HaRiyah, where he describes how the reason why Torah is qualitatively better here and is because there's more Shechina here. So the more Shechina there is, obviously there are insights to Torah. And I don't know about any of you, meaning that not just going to Shiurim and Chutz Laaretz, excuse me, versus attending Shiurim here, but even in terms of insights that you have in Torah, learning Tanakh here not only comes alive by being able to go on to Shiurim, but one is able to appreciate a certain depth of Torah that I think is really missing in Chutz Laaretz. And at Rav Kook, I remember reading this thinking, oh, so now I feel better about this. Meaning it's not just that people here are more focused, and now people here, maybe the yeshivot are on a higher level, people learn in seminary, all of a sudden they see the light. No, it doesn't work that way. Rav Kook says there simply are more nitzotzot of kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, so obviously the Torah is going to be better. Which reminds me of my 17-year-old son's comment when he went on the exchange program to MTA, and he saw the YU-based midrash is full at night, so I asked him, almost as a devil's advocate, I said, it's a Yehuda. And you see people in Chutz Laaretz learn Torah also, you can really become a Talmud Chacham in Chutz Laaretz. And he paused and he said, but Ima, there's a major difference. And I was like, here, what's him saying? What about his, all of his Talmud Chacham and friends and relatives? So I said, Ima, in Chutz Laaretz, people learn Torah for the sake of learning. He says, in Eretz Yisrael, people learn Torah to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I thought, we really got it. And that's part of what's special, obviously, about Torah Museum, that we see it as coming directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore engaging in Torah is really a way of engaging in dialogue with God. Well, let's continue, and we're going to see fascinating parallels between Mamash Zman Matan Torateinu and the whole ephemeral event by Har Sinai, and ultimately, what we find by Yom Yerushalayim, really the central focus on, it's not just the idea of a Shechur Gush Etzion Yerushalayim, that Yerushalayim Biyadeinu, but Har HaBayit Biyadeinu. Then now we're able to refocus on Har HaMoriah. And just to show you how Yerushalayim really sets the tone for the two, we're going to compare and see how Chazal associate one with the other. Perhaps one of the most fascinating midrashim, the Sinai Meheichan Ba. And Chazal our father, this Har Sinai, we never heard of this place before the giving of the Torah, so where did it come from? It must be that such a geographic geographical place with such historical and religious significance, it must be that it came from somewhere. So long ago, what Chazal say? Amar Rabbi Yosei, Mehar HaMoriah Nitzlash. It was taken from Har HaMoriah, Kechalam Mi'isav. Take a look at this beautiful mashal. Like Hafreshet Challah, like part of the portion of the challah that you take from your batter. Mimakom Shenekad Yitzchak Avinu. What Chazal telling us? Well, really, Har Sinai, you know, that little har in the middle of the desert, it was really just taken from Har HaMoriah that you already know of. So Har HaMoriah has tremendous religious historical significance dating back to the time of the Akedah. What are Chazal trying to tell us? Again, they know that you're not going to learn to appreciate this literally. There's no such thing. God can take a piece of the rock and just plant it in the middle of the Midbar. Rather, it's trying to tell us, don't see Har Sinai in a vacuum. Don't see it as a historical vacuum. Rather, the commitment that was expressed by Har Sinai really has its roots where, we have seen this before, where have we seen, fine, maybe not the exact terminology of Nasa v'Nishma, but where have we seen a commitment to people's HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I was like, it's Yitzchak. So Har Sinai is really just the Hafreshet Challah, which by the way, this is a beautiful mashal, because what do you do with your challah? You dedicate it to Hashem, you give it to the Kohen. This is like the best of the best. Hashem took our dedication that was expressed by Avraham Avinu by Har HaMoriah, and that was Har Sinai. What's alluded to here, by the way? Well, if you just took it in the slash me Har HaMoriah, then one day, what's going to happen to that mountain of Sinai? Going to have to go back to its geological source in Har HaMoriah, which is very true because we know that the Kedusha of Har Sinai truly was ephemeral. And there's no Kedusha. We have no idea where this mountain is. It's almost as if it disappeared. Back to Har HaMoriah, take a look at what Chazal say. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ho'il b'Yitzchak Avihem ne'ekad alav, ne'el banav, kabel alav, etzat alav. This is such an appropriate place to accept the Torah because this is where Yitzchak was bound. Meaning, notice the connotation here. Just like Yitzchak was bound by the word of God on Har HaMoriah, so too, Am Yisrael is bound to the word of God by Har Sinai, so it's kind of one and the same mountain. I mean, Yom Yerushalayim and Zman Matan Torah Tenu, they're not disconnected. Yerushalayim represents going back to the time period of Akedat Yitzchak, the origins of Yirat Hashem, which is, as we know, one of the goals of Har Sinai. Vavur Yishma Amadavi Machvigam Bachayaminu La'olam and Vavur Tiyeh Yirato Yirato Achmechem L'dolti Tachta'u so that the fear of God will appear upon us so that we won't sin. Ne'el Vanaz L'chabel Olach HaTorah, very appropriate for Zman Matan Torah Tenu. Minayim sha'atid lachzor lemekamo. So if it was nitlash, if it was taken out of its natural element, then it must be that one day it's going to return. Shenemar nachomiyeh har beit Hashem v'rosh ha'arim. And therefore, I think even just starting off this way, it makes sense that Yerushalayim precedes Shavuot. Because the idea is really of Yerushalayim, finds Chazal, a commitment by Avraham Avinu, that preceded the national commitment by Har Sinai. And it's almost as if this day gets us ready for what, on a national level, we're going to accept as Rav Hashem on Chag HaShavuot, but all the more so brings us back to Yerushalayim, telling us that the goal is not just the national expression of commitment by Zman Matan Torah Tenu, but we want to be able to manifest that in Yerushalayim by the Beit HaMikdash. Let's continue, and we're going to see other beautiful ideas that Chazal tell us. My Har HaMoriah, what is the etymology even for Har HaMoriah? Why is it called such? Pligeba. There's a machloket with regard to this between Rabbi Levi Bar Chama and Rabbi Chanina. Chanamar, Hashar yatzah mimenu ho ra'ah liYisrael. This, I would say, is the classic approach, that Moriah comes from a ho ra'ah teachings, because this is where the Sanhedrin was, and this is the basis for all of legislation, this is where Kohanim are going to teach. But the other opinion is, Chanamar, Hashar yatzah mimenu mo ra'ah. Not from the Shoresh of Hora'ah Moriah, which is probably closer philologically, but rather Milashon Shel Yir'ah. Now, can anyone tell me why there is a source that Moriah is Yir'ah? Who remembers? What does Avram call the place? And Avram calls it Hashem Yira'ed. That's right. Again, and this is the place where, again, Hashem will be seen, and we will be seen by God. So, beautiful idea. There is that root of Yira'ah. So this opinion is, this is going to be the place, Har HaMoriah, where fear is going to exude to all the nations of the world. Now this in itself is quite confusing, and we're going to find that Rashi and Tosfot then have a hard time associating Yira for Umot HaOlam in the place of the Beit HaMikdash, because if you recall, by the inauguration of the Beit HaMikdash, Shlomo says, that part of the function of this Beit HaMikdash is also for all the Goyim. He wants the Goyim to come in to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeshayahu speaks, that Goyim are going to stream to this place. So it doesn't seem to be a place that necessarily projects fear. So notice what Rashi and Tosfot say. Moral umot ha'olam sheshomim gdolot Yisrael v'yushalayim umet pachadim aleihem. This is where they hear the greatness of Yisrael and Yushalayim, and they're afraid of it. It says, so it must be more that they're in here from Yerushalayim, again, the greatness of Am Yisrael. But he says, but I heard another opinion. You ready for this? Lishnachmina, Har Hamoria, Har Sinai. It makes more sense to say that Har Hamoria is really Har Sinai. Some people even claim that maybe the story of Akedah Yitzchak took place by Har Sinai. Har Moriah Har Sinai. Moralu Motolam Matan Torah Dechtiv Eret Yirah Ushketa. And giving us the impression, Rashi says it makes more sense to associate Har Moriah with Har Sinai as a place of Yirah, because it really was a place of trembling and fear. And he knows all the Midrashim that talk about how objectively the world froze. Everyone knew that something of great magnitude was occurring during the time of Matan Torah. So notice again another association between the Har of Yerushalayim and the Har of Matan Torah. Let's continue. The Maharsha says, but that's so strange, again, for Rashi and Tosfot to both say the Har Moriah is Har Sinai, because we know that we're supposed to build Beit Hashem, the Har Moriah. What is the Maharsha basically telling us? That even if I say that it's Har Sinai, Har Moriah is definitely the place of building the Beit HaMikdash. Meaning Har Sinai could also be a place of Yirah, but I'm supposed to get to that ideal of Har Moriah. And an interesting midrash that I found, and I'm sure you're familiar with, Chamisha Shemot Nikra Har Sinai, and a few of the synonyms for Har Sinai, Har Chored, we're familiar with Har Sinai, Har Elokim, Har Chamed, and Har Hamoriah. Oh my, it really is another name. Now what, are Chazal just confusing their mountains because there are many mountains around? No, they know exactly what they're saying. Again, there's a certain aspect of Har Hamoriah that's found by Har Sinai. There's a little bit of Yerushalayim, the concepts of Kedushat Yerushalayim, the manifestation of Hashem by Yerushalayim, the Yirah that Abraham felt, dedicated and committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter what, even if Hashem keeps changing the plan on him, following the word of God, that is obviously indicative of what was experienced by Am Yisrael by Har Sinai. The Gemara in Tanya tells us, Senu Re'ena Benot Zion, based on this very famous Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, wherein the poet invites all the women of Yerushalayim to go out on Shlomo HaMelech's wedding day, the Melech Shlomo, that Tarashe Trello Limo, go and see the crown that his mother has crowned for him, either literally a crown, because it was also the day of his crowning, or the wife that his mother had found for him, B'yom Hatunato or B'yom Simchat Libo. Anna Chazal are bothered because the day of one's wedding is obviously the day of one's happiness, right? More emphatic nods. Yes, again. Anna, therefore, Chazal say, why do we need two terms? Oh, it must be that it's referring to two different events. B'yom Chatunato, zo Matan Torah. B'yom Simchat Libo, zo Benyam Beit HaMikdash. Especially if we understand that Shir HaShirim is really a mashal for a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So come and see Hashem on the day of his crowning, on his wedding day. What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wedding day? When he married, so to speak, Am Yisrael, that was Matan Torah. But the day of Simchat Libo, that's the day of Yerushalayim. That's the day of Binyan Beit HaMikdash. That's when, basically, Shavuot continues through the idea of Yerushalayim. And note then the parallels here, that you can't separate the two. That it is a wedding day of Matan Torah. Har Sinai is significant, but it is intrinsically connected to Yom Simchat Libo, to Har Habayit Har Moriah. And now what we're going to see is even on a very technical level, the association between the two, how basically everything that we find in Yerushalayim by Har Moriah is really associated back with Ma'amad Har Sinai. You ready for this? Our halacha caps on right now. The Rambam tells us that there are shalosh machanot hayu b'midbar, and also very relevant, we're going to be reading this week's parashat be'ezrat Hashem. Machane Yisrael hu arba machanot. Basically, we have, again, the outside machane, where Zav, a mitzvah would be sitting on Machane Yisrael. And then we have Machane Libya, and then we have Machane HaShchina, where the Kohanim would be. Machane Libya, Shenamar Babasavim, the Mishkan Yachanu, Machane Shchina, is where? From Petach, Hatzer, Ol Moed, and Lefnim, Dan Lidorot. And he says, and what do you know? This will establish the machanot once we get to Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim. We have Mipetach Yerushalayim Ad Har Habayit, that's like Machane Yisrael, we can all go there. Mipetach Har Habayit Ad Petach Hazara, until Shar Nicanor, meaning until the area that we call Israt Kohanim or Israt Hanishim, that's Machane Libya. And then from the Azara, again, until the Olam Moed, that's Machane Hashchina. Right? A beautiful idea here as well. What's interesting is that Rabbi Yitzchak in Barcelona explained on the Rambam, he says, the Rambam says that the source is the Midbar. But really, he says, if we look carefully, the source is Ma'amad Har Sinai, that the entire setup by Har HaMoriah is really just a model of the setup by Har Sinai. So Shavuot is really, again, the precedent for everything that happened by Yerushalayim. What were they? So instead of thinking horizontally for a moment, think vertically. You ready? Av ha'anan. The av ha'anan is like machane hashchina. Again, where only Moshe could go. That was kadosh kadoshim. Again, vayim hashem Moshe ne'anachi v'aylach av ha'anan. Ha'anan, makom hakodesh, kedotze v'aybo Moshe v'toch ha'anan. And that's where Aaron, the Kohanim, Shivim Sekeinim, again, that's more like machane l'diya. And then who was around the mountain? All of Israel, perfect. Shar HaSinai, Ubo Makom Chatzar Mashkan, Shiluan Otani, Machan HaShchina. That basically, and this is a beautiful explanation, telling us that the Kedusha from the outside really gains its status from the Shchina on the inside. Right? A magnificent view over here, to think about it this way, that the whole setup by Har Habayit really stems from Mamad Har Sinai. Let's continue. When we see these psukim clearly, and the Midrash says that Moshe was really a machatzeh b'fnei atzmo. Right? He was his own mechitza, meaning he set off one camp. Aaron was his own. Nadav Aviv Yishevim Zekhnei Yisrael, kol achad machatzeh b'fnei atzmo. Maybe Yachol af Nadav Aviv Yishevim Zekhinim Alu, maybe they went all the way up. No. Ra'u v'lo alu. They saw everything that was going on by Moshe, the Av Hanan, and Peruch HaTalad. We're going to hear that by Yechazu, they actually saw the Shechina, Masa Merkava, but they didn't go up. And also, even Am Yisrael, and certainly the Kohanim, they may see the expression of God, the manifestation of God in the Mikdash, but they won't be able to go where? Where is the Av Hanan? We already saw the terminology. Kodesh Kadoshim. Now we're going to take a look at a few Midrashim Halacha from the Beis Midrash of Rabbi Yishmael that express further ideas. He says, now it all makes sense why the Sanhedrin, a legislative body, which really should not be by Har Habayit, right? A place of religious worship and sacrifice. Why is there, again, legislation going on in Lishkat HaGazit? He says, because we know the Sanhedrin has to be by the area of the Mizbeach. He says, from where? Kishem Shabba Mamar Har Sinai Amduhim Bahar Kakuvit Olamit Shikhanim Liyok Shama. He says, because the Shivim Skenim, the basis of a Sanhedrin, where were they? They were by the Mizbeach, again, on top of Har Sinai. So that's where the future Shivim Skenim have to be. Below the Bubat, Elam Hemas Ruat Mukoman, Ein Lehem Din Sanhedrin. And we know that, let's say, one of the Chachamim of the Sanhedrin would leave Har Habayit. Is he allowed to pass in Halacha? No, a fascinating idea. He could be like on the last step of Har Habayit, he could tell you, again, puzzle or kasher, and take one step down and can't pass in for you anymore. What does it teach you? Hamakom Goreim. There's something about the Makom. Where do they get their Kedusha from? And their ability to know the Ratzon Hashem. They get that from Har Habayit, just like the Shivim Zkenim, whose Koach came from that Eish from Shamayim, the fire from heaven. Let's continue with the next source. Not only is the Sanhedrin there, but Mikomam Beis HaMikdash Yevim Mizrach HaZarah. So interesting, they're on the northeastern side of the Mikdash. Lishkat HaGazir Haitza Bezrat Yisrael Shei Mizrach HaZarah. Why? Shekim Mamah Har Sinai Amdu Kol Yisrael Neged HaHar. Because Am Yisrael stood, it says, facing the Har. What do you always face? Mizrach Kadima, right? Kedem. The Mizrachol Gam Tochet HaVodah HaKodesh Mamah Mimamah Har Sinai. He says, so notice that even the direction of the Sanhedrin is based on Har Sinai. So everything that goes on our Har HaMoriah really is parallel back to Har Sinai. Eze Yochri. Nelman Mimamah Har Sinai, even some of the details. So now we're going to get into the details. For example, Kama HaShimush B'Klei Shareta, how do I know that I need specific kelim? Do you know that there were specific utensils that were used for the Avodat HaMizbeach, right? It had its own machtav, its own kapot, And you only use it for Mizbeach HaNechoshet. He said, where do we see this? No method. Because by Har Sinai, they built their own Mizbeach, right by the Har, Perach HaDalid, and this is where they worshipped with their own Kelim. So when we are going to transplant that, by Har HaMoriah, we're going to use the same halachot. For example, look at the Sifra. Minayim la'ulat dorot shetu nachli. So how do I know that? I always need for future dorot, but I have to use specific kelim tamud lamer. Ulat ha'mechasiya v'har Sinai mekish ulat ha'dorot lo. Ulat har Sinai, because I learned all the halachot to future olot, to future karbanot, from the initial olot that was sacrificed by the ceremony of Har Sinai. And that's why Hillel, Beit Hillel Paskins, and Masechet Chagiga, that the olah that Am Yisrael sacrificed, technically, I should say, it was a specific olah having to do with the ceremony of Matan Torah. But no, Beit Hillel says, you know what they were doing there? They were establishing the Karban Tamid. That was the first Tamid that was ever given, and that's going to continue for hundreds and hundreds of years until Shabbat, our Batan was of 586 BC. Again, imagine this, in that Beit Hillel sees, yes, all the halachot, including the very first Karban Tamid, and I'm sure you're familiar with another famous midrash, that the Eish HaTamid, that the fire of the Mizbeach that was inaugurated at the time of Shlomo's Beit HaMikdash, Chazal tell us that fire, that was taken from the fire of the Mishkan. And the fire of the Mishkan, that was taken from Har Sinai. That's right. Now, obviously, you know, again, because there were all new fires, what are Chazal trying to tell you? Again, the magnitude, the commitment, the manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the result of Har Sinai, and an ephemeral status, don't worry, it's going to continue. It's going to continue the same way in the ideal place in Yerushalayim. And just to show this a little more, another interesting ceremony, in Shmuel Baruch Hu, we hear about the actual Brit. Right? We hear about the covenant that takes place in over the Aseret HaDibrot, and when it's that, it's called Brit HaAganot, where Moshe takes the blood of the sacrifices of these Olot, and he throws half of them on Am Yisrael, and the other half he throws on the Mizbeach. So a beautiful midrash here in Vayikra Rabbah, wherein Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to understand what to do. Rafuna B'Shem Rabba Adir, Ba'aganot K'tiv, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu threw it on the backsides of Am Yisrael. Lo zeh gadol mizeh, v'lo zeh gadol mizeh. Amar Moshe l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ma naseh b'chol k'cha? What should I do with your part, Hashem? Right, what should I do, so to speak, to show that you're part of this covenant? Hashem said, I want you to throw my blood on the nation. Zrok al ha'am, omana sabachokam. So what should I do with the part that symbolizes Am Yisrael? Hashem says, you throw that on my mizbeach. Zrok al gavei mizbeach. V'chatzi adam, zarach al ha'mizbeach. Rabbi Brachia, Rabbi Chia, v'shem Rabbi Yosef Rahamina, hu nishba lehem, nehi nishba'u lo. Showing you a mutual oath that took place. We threw our blood, so to speak, on the mizbeach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's going to establish, according to the midrash now, Chazal see that as a precedent for, what do we do in the Beis HaMikdash? We constantly are doing a lot of blood sprinkling over the Mizbeach. So the Alfred Shimoni says, where do we get that idea from? To sprinkle the blood of Karban on each of the corners of the Mizbeach, and then whatever left over you spill on the southwestern side of the Mizbeach. So take a look, he says, Kenu, where did we get this from? Or sorry, the Midrash and Vayikra Rabba explains that we got this from Har Sinai, that grit. Establish the Menachat Zrikat HaDam, so that every time we offer a sacrifice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Har HaMoriah, what are we reminded of? Reminded of Har Sinai. Reminded of Hashem's participation. We bring Hashem a Korban, and Hashem again sprinkles his blood, so to speak, and we bring the blood to the Mizbeach. Let's take a look at the Yalkut Shimoni. Another idea. Moshe Nigash. Everyone is standing from the side. They see Moshe entering the area of the Arafil. Mi Beit HaBechira Midbar Kimon. Anna, isn't this interesting? What do they call the area of the Eish, the summit of the mountain? Beit HaBechira. But that's so strange. There isn't a Beit HaBechira yet. It's HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem. But Chazal understand. Anna, he's going into the Chazush Kadoshim. But you see, like, the two are tied together. It's really the same thing. Anna, and therefore, the Ramban, perhaps the most famous here, explains that out of all the mitzvot to be written down, when Moshe goes up to Har Sinai for his 40-day, 40-night sojourn, the only mitzvah that is written down, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him is B'niyat HaMishkan. Keep in mind that according to the Ramban, Yesh Mutam U'Mulchar Torah. I am sure that we'll be sharing this with you. Yesh Mutam U'Mulchar Torah. So that this is pre-Chet HaEgel, they were supposed to get a Mishkan. Why are they supposed to get a Mishkan? Immediately after they witnessed Ma'amad Har Sinai. So Ramban explains, because the Mishkan is an ongoing revelation of the Shekhinah. Can you imagine Am Yisrael after this massive 6,000 light show that instills fear and understanding of Nevuah in their hearts and minds? The next morning they're going to wake up and Yeah, what a downplay, you know? Everything, not very depressing afterwards, so not to worry. Instead, they're gonna open up their window shades, and what are they gonna see? This diorama, Farsi and I, they're gonna have continued dibur through the Arum and the Kruvim. They'll still have Eish through the Menorah. They'll still remember the Panim al Panim relationship through Lechem HaPanim. They'll still have the Mizbeach in the Chatzer, so that they'll see that ongoing Hashra'at HaShchina. Right, the beautiful idea. I'm just gonna read the end of the Rambam here. Anyway, he says, So Ham Mishkanu, Shia Kamara Shoshachan al Harsinai Shochin al Abinistar. So fine, it's true, it won't be as bombastic as Harsinai, but they're going to continue to see a Mishkan as Harsinai. Kamoshin Emarsham by Shkan for Hashem al Harsinai says, if you look at Shmot, it's described the same way in Shmot Perak Mem, for Hashem al Harsinai, for Hashem alayat ha Mishkan. Vayat the Mishkan Tamir in Yisrael, Hakabochin Ralehim Harsinai. Through the Mishkan, the glory of God will continue with them, just as he was with them at Har Sinai. If you are very, very sexually attuned, and you'll understand that even the Beis HaMikdash, which is modeled after the Mishkan, is really, they're both just modeled after Har Sinai. And isn't this amazing? So really, what happens? Yom Yerushalayim, we're reminded of that ideal. We're reminded of Harmonia. We're reminded of the Beis HaMikdash. But come Solom Shavuos, and we're basically, again, we're celebrating the original, right? We're celebrating that idea of, wait a second, it all started by Har Sinai. This is where we were first privy to the Maaseh Merkava, that ultimately, again, we also get to experience and engage with every day in Yerushalayim. Now, if that's the case, you're supposed to ask Solom Shavuos coming for Yerushalayim. So we're going to continue to see very interesting mikorot, but let's continue for a moment where we find, again, a beautiful midrash in Rav Metzia, where Yirmiyahu is rebuking Am Yisrael. He's saying, you know what, it's very difficult to understand this idea of Korban HaBayit, that even though we just read in Parashat Lukotai, everything that leads to the destruction of Mikvah Shechem. Nonetheless, he says, Mi ha'isha chacham yavin atzot, asher tvarpi ha'shem eivav, yagita amad lahar, it's okay to explain the catastrophe. And that has befallen Am Yisrael here with the Lud and the Korban Beit HaMikdash. He says, sure enough, they asked Chacham and they weren't able to explain. Then they asked the Nevi'im. And here, even though Yirmiyahu says you really could figure it out, but finally Hashem divulged to them. Why did you lose the Beit HaMikdash? You cannot have Har HaMoriah without Har Sinai. You can't have Yerushalayim without Shavuot. Notice that Yirmiyahu again quotes both Pesukim. I'm sure you heard this. We're now on page 3, the top of page 3, the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Shelo Berchu BaTorah Tchila. So what did we learn from this? That they didn't say Berachas HaTorah. I'm sure you learned this before, but that's fine. Basically, I'm just story because we skipped like 30 seconds of Tchila. We didn't say Asher Kishan Mitzvah Tzvanel Asher Kishan Mitzvah Tzvanel. We didn't say Baharikna. And what is this depicted as? Explained Chazal. But if you lose sight of the basis, if you miss out on the mitzvah, the Isuk B'Talmud Torah, if your Beis HaMikdash is not rooted in Torah, if you don't take out a few moments a day to appreciate Talmud Torah and Baharitna, the pleasantries of Torah, then what? Then you miss the whole point. Then the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed because you can't have a Mikdash without that commitment to Torah. Because the whole idea of a Mikdash is that that's that ongoing revelation of Har Sinai. You're supposed to appreciate the symbiotic relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So without Torah, it's only one way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't literally want your karbanot. And take a look at the tour, at the back on the tour, who says this, again, very famously. He says, what does it mean? Again, he's commenting on this idea that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of not saying Brechas HaTorah. The Nebet, the Kavanah Torah, the Lach, Mulam, it's HaShaliyah, as Puskim HaTorah, כדי שתתעצם נשמתנו בעצמות ורוחניות וקדושת מקור מוצא התורה, so that we would recognize that our intense relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rooted in Torah. ולכן נתן הקדוש ברוך הוא תורת אמת לישראל במתנה, שלא תשתכח מאיתנו, כדי שתדבק נשמתנו בגופינו ברמח איברים ושסעידים, so that we would forever, in every aspect of our lives, infuse our lives with Torah. Let's get to the bolded words. And he says, and this is exactly what the whole point, the Mishkan is supposed to remind us of this, right? Basically, they lost sight of the core. They lost sight of Torah. So instead, they saw the Mikdash as simply a physical act. And what it means by not saying Brechas HaTorah is that they lost sight of the value of Torah. And with that, then, they made a huge separation between the physical expression of a relationship with God, but the root of the expression, which was Torah. And therefore, Shem Shechina min Aretz v'atzala l'malah. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because we didn't appreciate that the Beis HaMikdash is really an ongoing revelation of the Shechina by Har Sinai. And instead, we went through the acts and we brought karbanot, but we forgot that the basis is Nasa v'nishma. And then I'm going to end this section with a very beautiful midrash that not only connects David HaMelech, in whom we always connect to Shavuot, again because of the sefer we're going to see, but the truth is that David is also a man of Yerushalayim. We know that it's David who conquers Yerushalayim. It's David who's going to establish the foundation for Yerushalayim by purchasing the Goren of Arav Nahi Yebusi, which is the landscape for Har HaBayit. So take a look at this very famous midrash. Chazal, as you know, understand that David is the poet for all 150 mizmorim, which, truth be told, historically can't be the case. For example, this famous mizmor, which is known as the mizmor of Yom Yerushalayim, which I'm sure you all sang last night, Kuf Kaf Bet, I told Leia, I said, stall, say Kuf Kaf Bet, and Kuf Kaf Sayim, and Kuf Kaf Bet. Did you? Oh, okay. Shir Hamalot LeDavid, Samachti Bo'omrim Li Beit Hashem Melech. Now really, what's the context? It's someone who's living during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so could David be writing this? No. And he's saying, I'm so excited when people invite me to go to the Beis HaMikdash, meaning part of what he's excited about is the social aspect of Aliyah L'Arayo, which is very exciting. I mean, imagine this, that going to Yerushalayim wasn't just a personal spiritual journey. It was the big social scene. Aren't you very excited? I don't know, what was the biggest social scene? Sorry? I was so excited, like when I met all my friends there. Right? And now the whole point is not to lose sight, right? People are just there to see their friends from camp. But then you also have to remember, I'm here for solidarity with Israel. That's right. So make sure that doesn't happen without the Aliyah L'Arayo, but it wouldn't, because your whole goal is to get to Har HaBayit. Just imagine this.
Always think about you.
Exactly, and you have to stop along the way a couple of times probably to go to the mikvah. I mean, you have many, many reminders along the way, because I look at everyone wearing white. And it was that type of feeling, you know, everyone getting ready. On one hand, I would say that Pesach was a bigger social scene because everyone has to be in Yerushalayim then, meaning even if, you know, for whatever reason, you were lazy and you didn't come Sukkot time, right, everyone, again, the mitzvah d'oraisa of Karban Pesach. But I can imagine also that Erev Pesach was a little tense. What do you think? I think so. So I always imagine that probably one of the most beautiful times of the year the Bikurim. Right? There were really, like, I'm serious, the Mishnah describes this in Bikurim. So I said there were basket decorating contests. Right? And then I always imagine, by the way, just the traffic from like Haifa to Yerushalayim with people with all their baskets and their caravans, and you have to take, obviously, a lot of donkeys along, you know, to carry your Bikurim and your various chita harvests. So everyone's coming in, you know, all the chatzot that they have amassed between Pesach and Shavuos, but they're coming with everything. Today, I always just imagine like a huge parade, like the Macy's Day Parade, but all the way from all over Eretz Yisrael. Again, I imagine people are going to have balloons on top of their cars, and I don't know what else, like decorate, you know, the just married cars with all the, again, that's what they're going to look like. Isn't that exciting? Okay, just to get you a little bit excited. Or, again, have any of you been to the Rikud Galim? If not, it's starting at 3:30 this afternoon. Yeah. Women from the Shar Yaakov side, men from the Shar Hashdod side. And, like, that should really be that Shavuot. And we're going to see this because the two really, really are connected. So much I have to say. Like, okay, this is just too much. We're only in the middle here, by the way. So notice what the Gemara says, but the Gemara wants to link this to David. But how could it be David who's excited about going to the Beis HaMikdash if there isn't yet a Beis HaMikdash in the time of David HaMelech? So take a look. Instead, the Gemara reads it, the Medrash reads it as follows. Amar David l'Bnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Shamati Bnei Adam Shayu Omrim, Matai Yamot Zaken Zeh, Ve'yavo Shlomo Bno, Ve'yavne Beit HaBchira, Ve'nale L'Arayel, Ve'samachti. Meaning, how do you read this and said, Samachti, I was happy when I heard people saying, we can't wait for David to die, because we know that it's his son who's going to build the Beit HaMikdash, so we can't wait. Samachti, David saying, I was happy when I overheard people saying, Beit HaShem Melech, we want to go to the Beit HaMikdash already. So, you know, David, just out of the picture, and David saying, believe it or not, that made me very happy. It made me happy to hear that people are so excited for the Beit HaMikdash. They can't wait for Yom Yerushalayim. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki Tov Yom HaChatzerecha Mi'alech. adopted one day in your chaser, and in your chaser of learning Torah and saying this Moreh Tehillim. And Zevin Amalek, the man so committed to Torah and mitzvot is greater than 1,000, told me, Yom Echad Shata Asik BaTorah Lefanai, Mei Elef Olot Shatit Shlomo Ben Chamakir Lefanai Agar HaMizbeach. He says, but Zevin, we lost perspective. Because one day, the view of Zevin Amalek learning Torah is greater than 1,000 Karbanot, and this is a reference to the 1,000 Karbanot that Shlomo's going to offer in Givon. It's a transition from Givon to Yerushalayim. And Hashem basically says, no, no, you can't have a solid foundation of the Beis HaMikdash until you go through the time period of it, until you have a solid founding of Har Sinai, until you remember that commitment to Torah. And now, just to show this over here, based on everything we've been saying, it would make more sense if we would first have Shavuos and then let's push off Yom Yerushalayim for a week. What do you say? Hannah, let's first remind ourselves of the commitment to Torah mitzvot, and then we'll celebrate Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. You're supposed to say no again, because this is the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure. Which again, I don't know if you've been reading or rereading the different accounts. You know that conquering the Old City was not part of the plan of the Six-Day War. It was all on the Sinai, and there was a whole Knesset meeting between days 3 and 4 of the 6 days, whether or not we should, we shouldn't. And after a lot of really cheshbon hanefesh, they said, you know what? That everyone really felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was just opening up a door for us, and we're not going to let this one pass by. Right? And this is an amazing scene. So it did happen today. And I believe that we are supposed to go through Yom Yerushalayim before Shavuot, because we already heard Chazal see it as Har Sinai isn't really the start of our commitment. What started the commitment? Har Sinai is an expression of the national commitment that really was taken from and I are going to note amazing textual parallels between the two. And just to keep you alert, just change the paragraphs for a moment. Really, I'm sorry that they got confused. Har Sinai is on your right, and Makitas Yitzchak is on your left. You ready? And so we're going to start with the left-hand column. We know that Avraham Avinu undergoes a three-day period of deliberation, and Bayom HaShlishi, and then what happens? He sees the Makom Mirachom, right? Which today people understand as, again, the area of the Tehillot, where he was already sensitive to where the manifestation of Hashem was going to be. Lo and behold, again, by Har Sinai, what do we have? 3 days, Shloshet Yemei Hagbala, followed by Vayom Tuha Mirachov. They also, again, they recognize, the Shekhinah's in the midst over here. And if you remember, when Avram gets to the Har, what does he say? Shvu lachem kol hachamor. He turns to his attendants and he says, you stay here with the donkey, ba'ani b'na nacha atko. We're going to go high up on the mountain, and we're going to be involved with prostration, and then we will return to you. And lo and behold, what happens? Vishtachavitem Mirachov. Moshe Rabbeinu says the same thing. You'll be involved in Hashtachavaya. V'vigash Moshe l'vador l'Hashem. V'ya k'moshe v'yesho v'shirto. Shvu lanu v'zeh ala sh'ena sh'va l'chem. And he says, everyone else, you stay here again until we come back. Isn't that amazing? While we go to Har HaMoriah and Har Sinai, respectively. What happens when Avram and Yitzchak actually travel? V'aleyu sh'al ma'ula. V'yishlach Avram et yadu. And then the Malach calls out, al tishlach Yitzchak. So too, we have an almost exact same scene, wherein there's a manifestation of the Shekhinah, and the different Zekinah, Matzah of Har Sinai, this is Shmo Perach HaDalit, see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayishlach et Narei Bnei Yisrael, Vayalu Olot, but they did what Hashem wanted, they gave Karbanot, Valatilei Bnei Yisrael Lo Shalach Yado, so that even though they were privy to this revelation of the Shekhinah, again, the Shekhinah didn't harm them. Come on, this is already a lot, no? But there's more. And we know that the term Hamakom, 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 again, Hamakom Asher Yireh, Vahar Asher Yireh, appears as a Mizlam HaKam, as a leading word in the story of the Akita Sotuki, Hamakom Asher Atal Meno Lavat Mat Kodeshu, Hamakom Atei Ayidiyah,
clearly seems to be that.
Yes, and which is by our Chavidic Parallel. So the same, but that's an earlier story. And now let's continue. Avram calls the place by Yikra, V'shem Hashem, V'yeshkim Avram B'boker, V'hut start in the morning, V'chavoshet Chamoro, V'yichachat Shnei Narav Yitzho, V'yitzchakino, V'yivakat Se'ola, V'yacham V'yelech Al HaMakom, Asher Amar Lo Elokim. What do you know? V'yisol Shnei Lukot Avanim, Harishonim, V'yeshkim Moshe B'boker, sorry about that, V'yal El Har Sinai, Hashreti V'Hashem. The ceremony also started in the morning. Okay, not with two Na'arim, but with two Lukot Avanim, ויקח בידו שני לוחות אבנים, וירא השם ענן, ויקרא בשם השם. Again, the exact same terminology by Har Sinai, second luchot, as Abraham and in the story of the Akedah, and lastly, Vahashem Yera'eh, the terms of Yira' and Ri'iyah that appear obviously by Har Sinai as well, by Yiru et Elokei Yisrael, Marek Vahashem Keishol Chelet, and I saw Hashem like an Eishol Chelet, which also brings us back to the Ma'achelet of Abraham Avinu. Right, both of them being means of us committing ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Are you convinced by now? Meaning, now I understand where Chazal get that idea of, well, Har Sinai must have been taken from Har HaMoriah, because the first time that I see all these words, but ultimately, the first time that I see an individual so committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to follow his word no matter what, again, it's almost as if when Hashem says, Lech Lecha, El Eretz HaMoriah, and Abram answers, Hineini, that really established a precedent for Nasa V'Nishma. That really it's one of the same. And maybe this is the reason why first we celebrate Yom Yerushalayim. We remember the onset. We remember the commencement of that commitment. We remember where it started from. We remember that it begins by Har HaMoriah. It goes to Har Sinai, and that will prepare us for the ultimate Har HaMoriah. But there's another aspect that associates one with the other. Yom Yerushalayim obviously is very clear. It's not just that we're and ecstatic that we have the Kedusha of Yerushalayim back in our hands, but it was also, again, a major military enterprise, the idea of Eretz Yisrael now being more complete with Yerushalayim, and it was seen as a continuation, and that's how we celebrate it. It's a continuation of Yom HaTzma'ut. And we declared this day, but it really wasn't complete for 19 years until we have Yerushalayim, Yer HaBikrah. And what's amazing is that, and if we think about even the precedent beforehand, it reminds us very much of Yehoshua, right? Yehoshua comes into Eretz Yisrael. They conquer most of the major cities and territories, but Yerushalayim lay unconquered in the hands of the Jebusites until who completed the conquest? David HaMelech, right? So there it took, as we know, 340 years. In our time, it took Baruch Hashem only 19 years. But recognize how the idea, yes, how the idea of Yom Yerushalayim really is a continuation of entering the land, of conquering the land. Almost as if, like, I always wonder, like, why can't we get it right the first time? Why can't Yerushalayim be part of the original? And we didn't get it right this time either. Isn't that something? And that part is that I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to feel something missing, right? That we'll appreciate it a little more. And but notice something interesting. So Yom Yerushalayim, we definitely celebrate as a stage of conquest, of entering the land. And but generally, we associate the world with Man Matan Tartena. Because if you look in Tanakh, again, no, Matan Tartena was, hey, Bab Zayin Sivan, that really, what do we celebrate Shavuot is? We celebrate it as Thanksgiving Day, a Jewish Thanksgiving Day. We bring, again, what is the whole celebration? We bring the Bikurim and the Menchat Shnei Alechem. As a thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to see it in just a moment. Thank you for allowing us to enter Eretz Yisrael. That's really what Shavuot is all about. Sukkot, we thank Hashem for the fruits of the land. Shavuot, we mamash thank Hashem for the land. And we're going to see it just a moment. But firstly, something fascinating, and that is that Rabbi Yoel ben Nun points out beautifully that in Kainari, we were really supposed to come into Eretz Yisrael on the anniversary date of coming to Har Sinai. Wouldn't that have been cool? That Shavuot would have been an anniversary of, again, that Knesa La'aretz would have been an anniversary of Matan Torah Tenu. So Shavuot would have been like a double anniversary. Wouldn't that have been nice? Now, mind you, we ended up entering Har Sinai not on the anniversary of Matan Torah Tenu, but more or less on the anniversary of Pesach, which is also nice. But think about this. The whole idea was that we should have gone in and on the same day that we accepted Zman Matan Torah Tenu, a fulfillment of Brit Milah, the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avraham Avinu regarding the nation and mitzvot, at the same time, we would have seen a fulfillment of Ripping Haftarim, the covenant of the land. Wouldn't that have been nice? So again, don't get me wrong, I'm glad that, you know, it all worked out and we came to Eretz Yisrael on the anniversary, more or less, of the beginning of the fulfillment of Ripping Haftarim, namely Pesach. Right? And we cross on Yud, and the month stops by Yud Gimel, perfect timing. But take a look at this. How do we know this? Because if we look at Parashat Bahalotcha, Perek Yud, and the Torah tells us we were ready to travel on Chaf Iyar of the second year. Meaning, how long have we been at Har Sinai? Almost 2 full years. And then Moshe recounts at the beginning of Sefer Tvarim, how far were we away from Eretz Yisrael when we got to Chorev? 11 yom mi Chorev. We were only 11 days away. So what's 20th of Iyar plus 11 days? Rosh Chodesh Sivan. We know that when do we get to Har Sinai? Shmo Perek Yitet. Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Wouldn't that have been very nice? And sure enough, the Ramban points out very nicely, he says, you know, Chag HaShavuot is the only time ever that we offer a karban of chametz. And you're supposed to say, no, we also offer a toda from chametz, right? No other karban has any leavened bread, it's always matzot, except for a karban toda, which has three different types of chametz, of matzah, sorry, plus one type of chametz, but the karban of Shavuot is purely minchat shtei halechem, like the real thing, two gorgeous loaves. I'm sure you've seen in your machzorei hamikdash for Shavuot. You will have it. It's beautiful. Hannah, you should look at these pictures. Hannah, so notice the Ramban says, why do we do this? So it's not just to celebrate the wheat harvest. We also do this to remind ourselves that we're offering the huge karban toda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shehu yom matan Torah yavi hakarban b'din toda. He's saying, what are we thanking Hashem for? Not just the wheat, but not just our agricultural staple, but this is a beautiful idea, our religious staple. So this is like a super duper toda. Kihu yom hatzeret, v'hamaskil yavin, v'zesod nasha mura'otinu kol hakarbonel v'tinu v'karbon toda eino batal la'olam, kibo matza v'chamitz, ki'inyan ba'olam haba. Say, he's telling us that this is the ideal toda. What do you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for on Shavuot? Obviously, the Torah, but also, so if you really think about this, you'll understand it. So all of you smart people here, he's saying, what will you understand? What do we thank Hashem most for? The Torah, eh? Eretz Yisrael. And here's our proof. What do we accompany the Bikurim with? And what's called the proclamation of the Bikurim, Mikra Bikurim, which begins, Arami Obigavi. Once upon a time, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he didn't have any lands. He was just a Bedouin. And then he sends his descendants down to Mitzrayim. Hashem, thank you so much for bringing us to this place. That's what we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for in Shavuot, for entering the land. Lo b'chol yom Yerushalayim is a beautiful prelude. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh yes, this is what it's about. We have entered the land. Again, and we're going to celebrate it again within a week. Thank you, Hashem, for this land. And that's why I'm bringing you the payroad as an expression of the wondrous nature of the land. And therefore, we find a midrash that fits beautifully with this. Again, when Moshe Rabbeinu is still on the Transjordan, tells Am Yisrael, "Kilo batim arata el hamikado l'nachala." You know, you haven't yet got to menucha l'nachala. And Chazal debate, what is he referring to? The menucha is Shiloh, the nachala is Yerushalayim, the menucha is again the Gilgal, the nachala will be Shiloh. Again, all different explanations. But take a look at this one: menucha zahar. One stage of settlement, one stage of rest, is to enter Eretz Yisrael. That's really what we celebrate on Shavuot. Thank you, Hashem, for this land. Nachala zo Yerushalayim, but the true place, the nachala, our portion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Yerushalayim. And to a certain degree, we celebrate this also on Shavuot, because even though we're so thankful for the land, where do we express our thankfulness for the land? And our nachala in Yerushalayim. And with this, we're ready for one of the last connections, namely Zavikamila. And I think the primary reason why we associate Zavik with Shavuot is because of the famous midrash that explains why we read Megillat Rut on Shavuot with the genealogy of Zavik, because Zavik HaMelech was born and died on Shavuot. You're all familiar with this. Umeta, Seret, so appropriate for David, Mr. Torah, Gana to die on Shavuot. Gana, Umeta, Ter, Chachali, Yoke, Shabbat. Gana was the Shavuot, Bethel, Adam, Shandis, and Sanhedrin had to decide how they're going to tell Shlomo HaMelech that his father was Mitter. So basically, David is Shavuot's man. But it's not only because David is Mr. Matan Torah. We saw, if you remember, again, the same sugya that deals with how he died. Remember, he knows that you can't die if you're involved in Torah because you're having conversation with God. So the Malach HaMavet distracted him for a moment. That's how he died. So David is definitely Mr. Shavuos, Mr. Torah. And I would even argue then Mr. Entering the Land. But he's also Mr. Yerushalayim. He's the one responsible for conquering Yerushalayim. He's the one responsible for choosing Yerushalayim through bringing the Karban like God HaNavi told him after he counted the people. You want to see something phenomenal? With the same words that David is chosen after Shmuel is told, Hashem says, I don't want any more Malchut Shaul. I'm discussing with Malchut Shaul, go and anoint one of the children of Yishai. Right? I'm sure you're a Navi, you're the Ro'eh, you're the seer, you'll be able to figure it out. But he sees the older three, Hannah, the very masculine, militant sons of Yishai, and he's sure that Hashem wants this tall, dark, you know, Shaul lookalike. And Hashem says, no, no, no. Alta ve el marejo ve el gobato comato que más dijo. I don't like the shoal types. Most people just see what they see with their eyes, but Hashem sees all the way to the heart, to the character. And Hashem keeps on reprimanding Shmuel. No, Shmuel, you're not doing a very good job. Until finally they bring Zadik, Pasuk Yivet, Vayishlach Ve'eliyahu V'hu Admoni. It doesn't mean he's a ginger, by the way. It means he is a reddish complexion. And Yifei Inayim, a very strange terminology to incorporate. He had nice eyes. Don't ask me why, but I always picture him with blue eyes. Right? But that's not what it means. It's just, again, Yifei Inayim has nice eyes. V'tov Ro'i, what does Tov Ro'i mean? To me, that he's good looking, but that's strange because Hashem just said beforehand, the others were good looking, Hashem doesn't want that type. So most Prashanim understand it as he sees well. What does that mean? That we have to hear that he has nice eyes and he has 20/20 vision? Yes, but within this context, what does it mean to see well? To choose well. He chooses, he sees to the heart, Shmuel. That Yom Hashem, kum shachehu ki zehu. He is the one, zehu. Notice that David HaMelech will incorporate that same terminology, ki zehu, when he selects Yerushalayim. Vayomer David, zehu beit Hashem Elokim. Zeh mizbeach lo Elohim Yisrael. David, who is the man of Sinai, who is the man of Shavuot, David, who is so immersed in Torah, guess what? He's also the man of Yerushalayim. He appreciates the continuation and the ability and the privilege we have to continue to express that commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a more grand level in Yerushalayim. So David is going to select Yerushalayim. And therefore, and now we find that David is really associated with all aspects of Shavuot, the Matan Torah, the Kiddush Haaretz, but also with Yerushalayim. And therefore, we celebrate Yom Yerushalayim as the Chag of David, right? And just go to Yerushalayim today, you'll see, again, David Melech Yisrael, Chag V'Kayam. But very soon, we're going to celebrate him again. And that's why there's a minhag, not only for people to finish all the Sefer Tehillim on Shavuot, L'Zachor Shel David, but also to go to his kever. And I was looking for the Makor, and I couldn't find it. But I did find it in Shayad Noam, right? And he says, in Atzmol Shel Shom, U'me'ata Zohi Tfilatino. By the way, I was just at a Yom Yerushalayim event, and at that, and the granddaughter of Shai Agnon spoke, and she quoted this, and I was very excited. And she also quoted that Agnon mentions Yerushalayim 2,164 times, which is even more than the time that Yerushalayim appears in Tanakh. Right? And again, Yerushalayim gives his lives. That's right, and he writes a letter to his wife, Esther La, where he says that even when he just goes to the shuk of Machane Yehuda, he just feels the mitzotot of Kedusha in the air, right? There's something about Yerushalayim. So this is what he writes in Tzmol Shel Shom, and the main character, Bloikov, says, Makom echad yesh b'Yerushalayim, shani holech elav pam b'shana, v'chak ha-shavuot. Zehu, you would think, where do you go on Shavuot? The Kotel, right? Again, what goes up? The Kotel, you stay up all night. Zehu kibroch shel David HaMelech. Well, just to remind you, he's writing this pre-1967, when it's very dangerous to get to the Kibroch shel David on Har Tzion. Because I love David. Melech adir shayata rekol hayamim. V'machamot v'goliyat ha'plishtivim shar kol arshim. V'av ha'yudim la'adil ha'yum v'adai v'adjudim oto harbe. Poor David. That's such a difficult life. Avol pichin hayalo kerach lo zman. V'naged l'chinor. Nonetheless, he always made time for his music lessons. V'asot mizmori v'shvil kol ha'obim ha'nidkaim. To lift up everyone's spirits. Melech zeh he'ech lo obim oto. How can you not love David? And it's true, I always tell anyone learning Tanakh, how can you not love David? That's what we see. There really is a minhag to go to Kever David. It's very, very hot. And I would think about the whole time how he would take his violin and play. Says, and the whole way I hear, like in the background, the beautiful notes of David HaMelech. Even though I don't know a single mizmor baal peh, he says, I find this very often as well. You know, you're asked to say mizmor tehillim. Again, once you start, what happens? He says, Yodea shem eftachati. That if I would just open up my mouth, v'ashir, and I start singing, yavol kol ha-mizmorim aleihem yitzrachu l'nigun. That they would just come automatically because I'm Shavuot. I hear the notes of the mizmor tehillim in the air. Right, a beautiful idea, obviously connecting David to those. But perhaps what I think is one of the foremost connections between Yerushalayim, Yom Yerushalayim, and Chag HaShavuot is the idea of Achdut. We know that Chazal tell us, based on the pasuk of Yechan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, notice the Mechilta the Rashi quotes, Ki Ish Achad B'Lev Achad. That for the first time, as opposed to Kol HaChaniyot, Hayu B'Taroma to the Machloket, we were at odds with each other all along. We finally got to Har Sinai, and the first time that a singular verb is employed, we were able to sit as one nation. Isn't this amazing? And Chazal tell us, that's why Hashem decided to give us the Torah, because he saw the Achdut of Am Yisrael. Notice then a similar beautiful idea. When can we finally build a Beit HaMikdash? When can Yerushalayim be united? Only when David can unite Malchut David with Malchut Beit Shaul. Only when the entire country is finally at rest because he's finished off the conquest. And that's why this famous Mizmor Samachtigo Rumi, what is it that the person is so excited about? I'm so excited about coming to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim Hadnuya Ki'ir Shechubra LaYachdav, because Yerushalayim is a city, Shechubra LaYachdav, a very strange terminology over here. Like a city that everything is connected to it. What does he mean? He says, because this is where I see the Shabbatim coming together. I see all of Am Yisrael with all their different head coverings. What's with no head coverings? Again, it's so beautiful to see them all. This is where I see the legislative process, making shalom between everyone. And that's why he asks for shalom, 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 because he understands that the success of Yerushalayim, and for that matter, for all of Eretz Yisrael, the man Beit Hashem Elokeinu Vatshatovlak, it depends on the after of Am Yisrael, which is the basis for Rabbi Yeshua to make his statement. What does it mean? Ir shechubra layachtad. He understands that his ear shall stop flowing through our body. Something special about the city. Just brings us all together. Sometimes we're in crisis. But the hope is that, and not better yet, at times of celebration, it's a city that allows for Achdut. And perhaps that's why we have to go through Yom Yerushalayim first. We have to remember the Achdut of Am Yisrael. We have to see, again, even in our modern times, and all different people dancing down to the Kotel together. We have to remember that Achdut, and only then can we then re-accept the Torah with the Achdut of Ish Achad B'Lev Achad. Or as Chazal tell us, Yerushalayim, what makes it such a uniform city? Lo Nitchalka B'Shvatim. It's the only city on the border of Yehuda and Binyamin that really is not divided amongst the Shvatim. And it was originally part of Nachalat Binyamin, but Yehuda conquered it. So it really is this, again, Washington, D.C., it's district in and of itself that allows everyone to have a part. It connects B'nai Leia of Yehuda with B'nai Rachel of Binyamin, a beautiful idea. But one last idea, and that is that Chazal tell us that it's not only because of the Achdut of Am Yisrael that we were zochah for the Torah, but also because of the humility of the time. We know that the Shabbat before Shavuot, we always read, again, the last parak of Perkeiavot, which is known as the Perek Kinyanei HaTorah, which, to be honest, wasn't really part of Perkeiavot. Perkeiavot has five parakim, and the sixth parak was a parak in and of itself, but Chazal said, you know what, it's still connected to the values of Perkeiavot, and definitely the messages that we want to give on Yisrael before Matan Torah, before Chag HaShavuot. And there's a list in Mishnah Gimel of the 48 midot that you need in order to truly acquire Torah. And if you look at the list of 48, some of them seem redundant because they're really all connected to what? And Chazal, again, throughout the parak, what is the midot that highlighted? If you want Torah to stay inside of you, ma'od ma'od hevei shval ruach. And you have to be a humble person. And as you know, this was part of the problem. Then by Har Sinai, and that's why Chazal tell us that Har Sinai was really the same place as the Sneh, that Hashem first revealed himself in the Sneh, to show that if Am Yisrael can accept the Torah here, they're going to have to do the same type of, and of simply, I don't want to say lowering themselves, but as much as humbling themselves. Again, recognizing that in order for us really to unite one with the other, in order for us to accept the different ideas one of the other and to respect each other, first we have to just humble ourselves and recognize that we don't know it all. So there's a very famous midrash that talks about this with regard to the heart. Something that we learn at a very young age, the midrash Tehillim, Rav Natan Omer, Kivan Shebikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Leitim Tamar LeYisrael, Bat Karmel Me'af Parmiya. That at the time everyone heard, oh, Hashem is going to give the Torah on the mountain. Again, of course on the mountain, because that's where Hashem manifests himself from the Shemayim. So came the greatest of the mountains, by Carmel, the Tabor, mi Beit Elim, Zomer. So came along her Tabor and said, mi kriti ha Tabor, alayim na'esh et yishur shkina lefi shami babo mikol la'arim. And you should definitely give the Torah upon me, because I am the mountain that's the highest among all of the mountains in the Emek Israel. Right, you go back to Emek Israel, you can see her Tabor, this beautiful dome-like mountain from wherever. And below your door lie mammable. I'm so tall that the marbled waters of destruction didn't touch me. And I'm the mountain that Barak fought against Sisera on. The Zelmer, I mean the crazy Har Carmel. No, you should come and give the Torah in Har Carmel. Alayma eshet esher shchinan v'yishani nitmatzeti v'talach. Because I'm mamash on the border. V'alaya v'latayam yav the Mediterranean by me. Meaning, what a beautiful setting, God, for Matan Torah. America Dosh Vachol, Kfar Nesaltam v'fanay v'kafut sheyishrachem. You're already disqualified because of your arrogance. Kuchem shulim v'fanay. Ein etzumi ela v'sinai shulu shafem v'kuchem. I'm going to take the lowest mountain and the lowest desert. Shenemar marom v'kadosh eshchom v'etaka u'shval luach. In order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rest on high, he first has to go down. Oktiv ki ram Hashem v'shafel. What does that mean? In order for him again to be exalted, first shafel yored v'gavol v'marchak v'idah. Now what's interesting and I think fascinating is this midrash, Hannah, that I learned when I was very, very young, forgot about for a few years, and then friends of mine reminded me of this. And this was really the inspiration behind the shiur. I had recognizing that Yitzhak Navon, the president of Israel, and during the time, right after the Six-Day War, Hannah, he wrote this, Hannah, he told this friend of mine, Shalehu, who had a chavutza with him, told his friend that he was in the Knesset when all of the party members, again, between days 3 and 4, as I mentioned, they had all gathered in the Knesset to talk about whether or not Yerushalayim should be conquered. This is when they were still in the area of the Castile, right? They had gathered there, the Harel Brigade, and they're making their way across the northwestern side of Yerushalayim.
Okay,
right, here we are. And lo and behold, he said that they had decided that they're going to conquer it, and it made sense that they were going to go from the northwest. So they had all the northern gates that they could come from, or the west, and they even thought, maybe we'll have a surprise attack from the east. Right? Basically, by the way, what's on the south? Again, the areas of Shar Yafo and Nashar. So that was already in Jewish hands, so there wasn't a need to conquer from there. And then there really was a whole discussion in which gate to come from. And he writes this midrash, and he says he really felt that he was experiencing Ruach HaKodesh. He said that each of the Knesset members, like everyone went off to their own corner, you know, with all the secretaries of defense and the military experts, and he really, he said he felt that he was exposed almost to this discussion going on in Shemayim. And this is what he writes. And I used to read this, and I used to think, well, it's so clear that it's a modern midrash based on the midrash of Har Sinai that we just read, seeing a beautiful connection between Har Sinai and Chag HaShavuot, and obviously Yom Yerushalayim. Now, as a mother of a Chayal, and I've led a few people, and a few Tehillim this year, in the wake of the Six-Day War, and all the way from the Castile, Gevat HaTachmoshet, and then Shar HaRayot, and I'm going to try to control myself, but I usually get choked up. Here we go. When Israel became a state in 1948, the old city of Yerushalayim was conquered by Jordan. For nearly 20 years, Yerushalayim remained a divided city separated by a high concrete wall. The new city was the capital of Israel, but the old city, including the western wall, the Kotel, remained under the control of Jordan. The people of Israel were not allowed to enter the old city. They could no longer pray at the Kotel. The old city was surrounded by a high wall. There were 8 gates in that wall. You can see one of them, the Shar HaChadash, was already closed up. In the west side of the wall was Shar Yafo, the Jaffa Gate. In the north side of the wall was Shar HaChadash, the new gate, Shar Shem, the Damascus Gate, and Shar HaChachim, the Flower Gate. In the east side of the wall was Shar HaYot, the Lion's Gate, and Shar HaChachim, the Golden Gate. And if you know this, is the one on the northeastern side. That was the one that was closed up in the time of Suleiman because they knew of Zechariah's sources that the Geula is going to come from Har HaZeitim, the eastern side, and they didn't want it. So that's the Shar HaGam, the Shar HaRachamim. On the south side of the wall are Shar HaShvot, the Dove Gate, and Shar Tzion, the Zion Gate. The years went by, and many people entered the old city through these gates, but Jews were forbidden to do so. In June 1967, the Six-Day War broke out. Israel soldiers fought bravely and won many victories. Soon they reached the old city of Yerushalayim. They prepared to fight for it and take it back from Jordan, but they did not know through which of the 7 gates to enter. As they tried to decide what to do, each gate bends, one louder than the other. Enter the old city through me! Enter the old city through me! Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Their voices reached heaven, but Hashem and his angels cannot decide which gate deserved to be the one through which the soldiers would enter. Then the angel Michael spoke, Ribono shel Olam, all the gates are beautiful, and each deserves to be the one through which the soldiers will enter the old city. Let each gate speak and explain why it should be chosen. Then you will decide which gate is most worthy. Hashem thought this was an excellent idea and asked each gate to speak for itself. Shar Yafo, the Jaffa Gate, spoke first. Two important roads go out for me. One leads to the city of Yafo into the Mediterranean Sea. The other goes to Hebron, where our ancestors, Abraham, Mazal David. I'll make sure that the soldiers of Israel enter the old city safely. And Shaar Shechem, the Damascus gate, spoke out in a loud voice and said, I am the biggest and most beautiful of all the gates. All roads leading north from Yerushalayim start here with me. Let the soldiers of Israel enter the old city through me. Shaar Tzion, the Zion gate, was the next to speak. God in heaven, I am named for your holy city, Tzion. Look at me. I am bruised and broken from all the fighting around me because this was the main gate through which they left in 1948 with all the bullet holes on the side. Excellence, it is only right that victory should come through me. Choose me, choose me. Raising its voice, Shaar HaShvo'ot, the dung gate said, dear God, look at me. I am miserable and ashamed. For centuries, Jerusalem's garbage was dumped on me. Now don't misunderstand. I would rather be covered with the garbage of Jerusalem than with all the precious jewels in the world. Every day I pray for the Kotel, which is right next to me. It is sad because Jews cannot pray there now. Make us happy and let Israel's soldiers enter the old city through me. It was then the turn of Shaar HaPrachim, the flower gate. It would not be right for the soldiers of Israel to enter the old city through the dirty dung gate. Let the soldiers of Israel enter through me, and I will give them wreaths of flowers. It should be me through me. Next, the voice of Shaar HaChadash, the new gate, was heard. I am the smallest and newest of the gates. I am so new that I am not even counted as one of the seven gates. I am near the Israeli side of the city, but every day I watch as Israel's enemies fire upon her. I try to protect Israel, but I cannot. Please let Israel's soldiers enter through me. Next in line was Shaar HaRachamim, the golden gate. Its voice was muffled because it's closed in on both sides. Master of the universe, for years my entrance has been sealed shut. The other gates open and close, but large stones block me up. You promised that the Jews would return to the Bilk Beit HaMikdash through me, and that is why Israel's enemies sealed me shut. It is only right that the soldiers of Israel enter through me. Only Shaar HaAriel, the lion's gate, was left to speak. God pointed to it, but it remained silent. Finally, began to speak in a soft voice. God in heaven, from all directions, I see soldiers fighting and being wounded. My heart is breaking, and I cannot bear to watch any longer. Doesn't matter through which gate the soldiers enter, just make the fighting stop. God and the angels heard these words and whispered amongst themselves. They turned to the lion's gate and said, all the other gates are interested in their own honor, but you care more about the soldiers of Israel than about yourself. Therefore we have decided that the soldiers of Israel will enter the old city through you. Yet let the young lions go forth and enter through the lion's gate. It sounds even better in Hebrew. As we have seen, the soldiers of Israel pass into the old city through the lion's gate. Their armored cars swept through the alleyways and they set the city free. At the western wall, they blew a great blast on the Shofar. The blast was heard throughout the land, and everyone knew that the gates of the old city were once again open to Jews. The miracle had occurred in the land of the Nile. We celebrate Yom Yerushalayim, and we're supposed to be reminded of the Akhtos of Yom Yerushalayim, and Yom Yerushalayim. We're supposed to be reminded of that initial commitment to have no reality from Yom Yerushalayim. We're supposed to be reminded of what our goals are and what our dreams are in Yom Yerushalayim. That the Esrat Hashem and the Getzah Kodesh Shavuot to embrace the Torah with a full sense of devotion, with a commitment to have a great soul, recognizing that when we started to celebrate in Yerushalayim just a week earlier, the Esrat Hashem will continue to celebrate as we bring our Bikurim, the Beit HaMikdash, of India, in Yerushalayim.